Tuesday morning, everyone. We thank you for tuning in. A lot going on. Our big three stories. The autopsy today for Gabby Petito in Wyoming. That should tell us a lot. Was there foul play? Did she die of natural causes? Lots on the line here. While FBI agents swarm the Florida family home of Brian Laundry, declaring it a crime scene, and still no sign of Laundry. So the mystery continues. Maybe we'll have some resolutions today. Also, in the big three, new rules. Starting next week, all New York City school kids and staff will be tested on a weekly basis. This after the teachers' union protested that there wasn't enough testing. Also, the quarantine rules were relaxed for unvaccinated students. So let's hope it all works. I think people are concerned, especially parents who have kids in the New York City school system. You have all these kids together. Last year was all remote learning, and let's hope they can continue to have in-person teaching, which is what the mayor wants. And rounding out the big three, well, the Dow taking a deep dive, down over 600 points yesterday. At one point, the drop was nearly 1,000 points. I think it was 970 at one point. But the market is poised to bounce back a bit today. The Dow futures are up around 260 points. Now, if you're wondering what all the traffic is around New York today, well, the UN is back in business with all the world leaders. In fact, Joe Biden is scheduled to speak later this morning, and we'll see how that goes. He's got obviously a lot of issues facing him. He's got the border issue. He's got Afghanistan. He's got a myriad of issues, which are putting him in a tough spot. So let's bring in Sarah Isger, ABC News contributor in Washington. Sarah, good morning to you. So with all the problems that Biden has, I would think that would be a big boost for Republican candidates, but many of the candidates are still hanging on to the idea that elections are rigged. Are they sending out the wrong messaging?
Well, it's so interesting because if you just look at Washington, D.C. and Republicans there and what they're saying, very quote unquote on message to everything that you're saying. So the Republican National Committee is hosting data and digital boot camps across the country and touting, you know, that they're really investing in some of this new technology for turning out voters. Mitch McConnell, Senate Republicans, talking about how the 2022 midterms are going to be all about Biden's mismanagement of the economy, of immigration, of crime. And then you go out to actual candidates, and what they are talking about is how the election is rigged against Republicans, and the election's not going to be fair, and repeating this rhetoric that Donald Trump has told his voters. And what's odd about that is that while there's some evidence that that is helpful for fundraising from this, you know, very specific part of the Republican base, there's also evidence that it keeps voters home on Election Day, which is how Republicans, of course, lost two Senate seats in Georgia and lost the Senate to Democrats.
Yeah, but Sarah, I mean, is Joe Biden really energizing that hardcore left base of the Democratic Party that did come out for him? They voted for him because they thought, all right, anything but Trump. He's not our guy. We, you know, would rather have Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. They came out and voted him. But is there evidence that he's losing them because he's not accomplishing the stuff they want him to accomplish?
So no question that Joe Biden was not the turnout machine in 2020 that maybe some other candidates could have been. But remember, he won in 2020 because of that referendum on Trump, like you said. So look at the California recall election. Look, California is its own weird, very, very Democratic state. But voters did turn out for Gavin Newsom. Nobody particularly likes Gavin Newsom either. If you go, you know, look at the polling, it's going to actually look quite a bit like Joe Biden. But they felt like Trump was on the ballot again, that Larry Elders, the leading Republican candidate, was parroting a lot of what Trump said. And that did energize the Democratic base and voters. So that's what you're going to look for in 2022 is, does that same thing happen? These candidates who the Republican candidates are actually the ones energizing the Democratic base.
So, Sarah, when Joe Biden addresses the UN and all the world leaders, you know, you hark back to when Trump did it for the first time, and he tried to tell a joke and people kind of laughed at him a little bit. What are you expecting from Biden when he makes his big speech today?
Well, everyone in that room will be thinking about Afghanistan and what America's role in the world is moving forward. And the real challenge for Joe Biden at this point is that no matter what he says, a lot of people aren't going to believe it. You know, if he says America is back, well, the last 3 months prove otherwise. If he says America's allies can trust it to keep its word, the last 3 months prove otherwise. And so he's got to overcome a lot of disappointment, skepticism, not to mention, of course, the tension with France that has now erupted. Joe Biden, of course, giving nuclear submarines to Australia. France, very upset about this, about being blindsided by it, and removing its ambassador from the United States. So he walks into a room that is not that keen on him.
Sarah, big picture question for you. Is the UN totally worthless? I mean, should we just turn that thing into a nice hotel for tourists when they come back to New York? I mean, what's the point of the UN these days?
Well, you tell me whether it would make a nice hotel for tourists. You're there. My impression is maybe not so much. Look, the UN, of course, comes out of, post-World War I. People wanted something where nations could come together and talk about
League of Nations. League of Nations.
Peace, yeah. Right? That kind of falls on its face. We have World War II, but in the wake of World War II, the UN is seen as a place where countries can come together and work out their differences rather than on the battlefield and costing lives. Has it been perfect at accomplishing that? Of course not. And I have any number of complaints, but you certainly want some place where it's not simply bilateral, trilateral meetings, where it's something larger than that. I think that whether the UN is the right forum for that now, I mean, it's been 70 years plus of the current, sort of structure and culture of the UN. And like most bureaucracies, it has grown. It's gotten bloated. There's all these subcommittees and commissions. That's where I think most of the failures are, not in the original concept, if that makes sense.
Right. We are on with Sarah Isger. She's the ABC News contributor in Washington. And since you are in Washington, Sarah, you know, every time I start talking about these bills and the spending bills and the $3.5 trillion and infrastructure, two things happen. Number one, I glaze over. And two, nothing ever happens. Is anything going to happen here? I mean, what's your insight there in Washington?
Well, this is Joe Biden's entire legislative agenda. Think of it like a choo-choo train, as I tell my toddler. That first engine has to get through. Everything else is behind it, stacked up and waiting. And so that infrastructure bill, if it doesn't make it through, nothing else is coming through. So the Biden administration really, really needs to get that engine of the infrastructure package moving. Now, the problem, of course, is his own left flank wants more. They want different. They want the $3.5 trillion package. And his own moderate flank is saying no. And so that's why it's stalled. Will something happen? I still think it will, but they're running out of time, believe it or not. I know he has three more years left in his presidency, but it doesn't feel like that if you're here and looking at his legislative priorities. It feels like they've got dwindling time, a couple months at best. And then post-infrastructure, can anything else get in next? It's hard to imagine unless Democrats are able to keep the House and Senate in 2022. And the House is looking increasingly precarious for Democrats.
Sarah, what do you make of someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? All right, she hates rich people. She wants to tax them. And there she is at the Bacchanalia of rich people, the Metropolitan Gala that, Anna Wintour hosts with her little dress on saying tax the rich. Has she just now fallen victim to the cult of celebrity and she just wants to be a famous person, doesn't even care anymore where she came from?
Oh, guys, she's a genius. I think I disagree with almost everything she stands for, and I don't like our current politics of attention stunt-based memeing. But that is our current politics, and she is the best. There is no one on the Republican side who can touch her at how talented she is at doing something that is controversial enough to gin up attention from both sides, especially the outrage from her opponent. She lives off of it, fundraises off of it. That's why she is famous. She is a backbench House member with no actual power whatsoever, and yet we talk about her constantly. I think it was brilliant. It touched
her. She's diabolical,
Sarah.
You make her out to be diabolical. Yes. I can't stand her, but I mean, you're right. She's getting all the attention. right?
True. Yeah, and that's why her power is derived from that attention and then fundraising capacity, because it's certainly not derived from, again, she's not the chairman of any committee. She's not in leadership of the party, nothing. But this is why she's powerful. And you know what? That Met Gala stunt was one of her best yet.
Wow. All right, good stuff.
Wow, thanks, Sarah. I never thought of it that way, but good for you. Wow. Yeah, you're right.
Good stuff.
You're right.
Sarah Isger, ABC News contributor in Washington, describing fashion, power, and AOC. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
You bet.
All right, coming up next, Larry Kudlow said what? What universe does this guy live on? Coming up next.
Our 2021 iHeartRadio Music Festival at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas was incredible. Check out all the photos, videos, and behind-the-scenes backstage content now at iHeartRadio.com/festival. In case you missed something or want to relive it, watch the two-night event Saturday, October 2nd, and Sunday, October 3rd at 8 p.m. only on the CW Network. So, Len, I got to say, Sarah Isger, she's one of the newest people to join our little show here, the ABC News contributor. She's really good. I mean, I never would have put it together the way AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, went to the Met Gala with that tax the rich gown on. I thought, oh, my God, this is the hypocrisy of all time. And Sarah, she convinced me that AOC knows exactly what she's doing. She is now the topic of conversation. She has absolutely no power in Washington. Her only power is derived from her notoriety, from her media presence. And I guess, you know, all the liberals like you probably thought, oh, she's so adorable. She's so cute there on the red carpet, the Met Gala. And people like me, conservatives, are like, man, this woman is the height of hypocrisy. But, you know, we're talking about her. Brilliant.
Well,
absolutely
brilliant. I think Sarah is very good, and I'm glad she's with us, and she makes some good points, and I think she's fair, which is what I like about her. But I've said this about AOC from the beginning. You guys on the right were so fixated about, no matter what, from the beginning, this was a big fixation on AOC, and what power did she have? You know, she's attractive, and she's young, and she's, you know, very liberal, and that's about it. So, I mean, you guys are so focused on her that sometimes you lose sight of the big picture.
Well, Joe, is Joe there? I think Joe.
Oh, Joe, here we go. This should be good. Joe.
No, what I thought, though, for a while, Joe, was that she kind of represented the new face of the Democratic Party, that she was like this. The Democratic Party is no longer going to be moderate or central. It's going to go far to the left, and she's going to pull it in that direction. And I have to say, and with all due respect to AOC, Biden is a far more left-wing candidate than I ever thought he would be. He's not a
centrist. Well, I think she has some influence here, but I think what Sarah is talking about is AOC is out for AOC at the moment. You know,
right.
She's out
That's
building
right.
her own brand.
Right.
Now she has her little political philosophy, very, very progressive, but more important than that is herself, kind of like you.
Right.
Oh,
like who?
There you go. Me? Joe taking shots. Go get him, Joe. Well, maybe I'm glad you called on Joe.
I was not invited to the Met Gala,
but
had
you,
I been there,
if you were, you would have gone.
If you were, you'd go.
Of course you would.
Of course he'd go. He goes anywhere that's free.
He would go
free
with
meal?
His Singular Sensation t-shirt.
No,
he'd be the best dressed guy there.
That's Riedel's middle name.
I would have worn a dress that said, Joe Bartlett, please retire. I'm begging you. That's what I would have worn at the Met Gala. Thanks
I'm
a
not
lot,
begging
Joe.
You to retire,
that
Joe.
That was a cheap
I love
shot.
You, Joe.
That was a cheap shot. So, anyway, Larry right. Kudlow.
Larry Kudlow.
Great.
What a genius.
I love Larry. No, he's
what
great.
A
no,
genius.
No. Here's what he said, though. And he's 100% right here. He's on the Fox Business Network. And he said that he misses Donald Trump because under Donald Trump, before the pandemic, we had the creation of wealth, the creation of prosperity. We had the economic engines working. And he makes a very good point, Larry, by saying that Biden is seeking to increase taxes so high to redistribute wealth that it's not about growth. It's not about prosperity. It's not about capitalism. It's about, all right, you people, all you made all your money. Now, Biden says, I'm going to take your money away from you and give it to people who didn't make any money. And that, Len, is a recipe for a
all right, let's,
a disaster.
Listen
a
to disaster. What else, Kudlow. Yeah, you back off. This is just genius. Listen to Kudlow here.
Now, With an extremely divisive Biden, America's foreign policy decline under Biden, absolute chaos on our southern border under Biden, and a tax and spend policy that is scaring 125 million investors near to death, well, all kinds of things happen that no one thought would happen just a few months ago. I will tell you, folks, I kind of yearn for the calm, peaceful, orderly, prosperous, America first, around the globe days of Donald Trump. Just saying. That's
He's
my
right.
riff.
He's right.
Which one was that? What is wrong with that?
It was Len, so, what is wrong with that?
Yeah, what, where were you guys?
That was a beautiful statement. That was a beautiful statement.
Stop it. Where were you guys living the last few
Len,
years? It was calm and peaceful under Donald Trump?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
You got to be kidding me.
Len, you are blind. You are blind. You don't understand that Biden is driving this country into a ditch. He is driving this country into a ditch.
You guys are just delusional. It was calm and peaceful under Donald Trump.
Sure.
What universe were you guys living in? Unbelievable. You guys are just shameful.
Stop with that freaking buzzer. I can't stand it anymore. All right? I mean, Len does not understand what's going on. Joe, he does not understand that Biden is going to tax us to death.
Everyone got along. Kumbaya with Donald Trump. God, I miss him.
I mean, Len, you are just... I mean, Joe, what do you make... I mean, he has no clue what's going on.
I agree with Kudlow.
Yep, 100%. Kudlow was brilliant. Let's get him on the show. Can we try to get him on the show, Natalie? Len? Do you want Kudlow on the show? See what happens.
Do I want Kudlow on the show?
News time, 8:30 from Joe Bartley. Good morning, Joe.
Oh, gosh. Hey, well, speaking of the guy who's caused all the problems, President Biden will be speaking to the UN General Assembly today. That ought to be great. He'll be talking, obviously, about COVID and the withdrawal from Afghanistan, and hopefully he'll stay awake. All right, let's get on to some other news here. Warning signs that something was wrong in the relationship between Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie. A park ranger warned Petito she was in a toxic relationship. And we also now have a witness who called 911 because of the concern about what she saw.
We drove by and the gentleman was slapping the girl.
He was slapping her?
Yes, and then we stopped. They ran up and down the sidewalk. He proceeded to hit her, hopped in the car, and they drove off.
By that way, that park ranger suggested the two split up for the night. Apparently that didn't happen, and we're not quite sure what happened after that incident. Petito's mother, meanwhile, said text messages from her daughter seemed to indicate more of a turmoil in the relationship as well. Autopsy going to be done on the body discovered in Wyoming, believed to be that of Gabby, and at the same time, still no sign of her boyfriend. Mayor de Blasio is changing the COVID rules for schools. Everybody will now be tested weekly, and if somebody in the classroom tests positive, you don't have to quarantine as long as you keep your distance and wear a mask.
And the goal is to not send a child home who is not symptomatic unless there's a very specific reason.
The action comes after an East Harlem school had to go all remote because of a COVID outbreak. Protesters rallied outside Carmine's in the Upper West Side yesterday, demonstrating against the arrest of three Texas women. They were charged after video showed them attacking a hostess who claimed the tourists refused to show proof of vaccination. Women say they did show proof, but the hostess thought it was fake and then used the N-word. Our news this morning brought to you by National Realty. Learn the insider method of obtaining 18 to 21% targeted returns on prime building locations. All right, finally, gentlemen, what is the best driving song of all time? You know, the song that gets you singing along and then causes you to press down a little harder on the gas? I don't know about Riedel knowing any of these songs or having this feeling, but here we go.
Wait. Don't Stop Believin'. It's got to be Journey. That's a great song that comes on. You want to really drive with that song? I love
try
that
song.
Try this one. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Yep.
Okay, that's number five.
That's good.
Number four. You can go
your own way. Oh, yeah. Oh, I love driving to this song.
Fleetwood Mac. No.
Oh, come on.
Here's a good driving
Fleetwood
song.
Fleetwood Mac. Okay.
I don't like driving Fleetwood Mac. This is a good one. Number three. Bon Jovi, halfway there, huh? Living on a Prayer.
Yeah,
okay.
Good.
Look at this. Number two. You're going to like this one, Michael.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love driving to this song.
I bet you would.
Are you kidding me? When you're out there driving and that song comes on, come on. Life is great when you hear that song. Love it.
Speaking of Dancing Queen, here is the best driving song of all time. Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Oh, but that's not the beginning. I only know the beginning.
Well, sorry, but this is what I have to play. So there you go. When you're driving, Queen, Dancing Queen, Bon Jovi, Fleetwood Mac, and Eye of the Tiger.
All right, thanks, Joe. I mean, the last one, you lost me there, but you were doing really well with the first four. That last one is that I'm not driving to that thing, but of course I don't drive, so it doesn't matter. All right, thanks, Joe. Coming up next, hey, are vaccine restrictions hurting restaurants here in New York City? Tony Herbert, he's the community advocate. He's got some strong thoughts on that very topic. We'll check in with Tony Herbert when we get back.
If your mobility isn't like it used to be, or you're living with nagging pain, then you need to make an appointment with my friends at Trinity Rehab. They're going to restore your freedom to live life pain-free. This is cutting-edge, state-of-the-art physical therapy that's going to improve your life. Trinity Rehab has the EPAP machine. It's FDA approved. It's non-surgical, acoustic pressure wave technology. It breaks up scar tissue, enhances healing. Best of all, it gets rid of pain fast. It's effective for back or neck pain, tennis elbow, shoulder tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, and knee pain. In just 3 5-minute sessions, you can be virtually pain-free. It's so effective that Olympic athletes and the local pro football team use EPAT for their injuries. There's no prescription needed to get started. And Trinity has 29 clinics throughout New Jersey, including Wayne, Shrewsbury, Short Hills, and now they're open in Woodbridge. Call them, 800-518-0977, or visit their website, trinity-rehab.com. That's trinity-rehab.com. Well, if there's one business that's really taken on a chin during the whole pandemic, it's the restaurant business. Indoor dining, outdoor dining, masks, vaccine requirements. And now we had this brouhaha at the Carmine's on the Upper West Side, where there was a fight among some women from Texas and the hostess there because the whole issue about vaccinations. And it's a pleasure to welcome in a friend of the show, Tony Herbert, community advocate out of Brooklyn. And Tony, I know the restaurant story is a big one for you, but before we get to the broader picture of proof of vaccinations, have we gotten to the bottom of what happened at Carmine's? Because the women are claiming they were racially profiled and the restaurant is denying it. Have you gotten to the truth?
Well, first let me say thank you guys. It's always a pleasure to speak with you both. From what I'm getting, I'm a member of the New York City Hospitality Alliance. And, for the most part, we did our due diligence and did speak with the owner and found that, there's mixed communications with regards to what might have been said. I don't believe, nor do we believe, that the hostess made any racial comments. What we do think is just that people are just suffering from PTSD and frustrated with this whole thing about the coronavirus, and to feel that, you had to verify their, with their ID that they did have the vaccination card that was in their name. That was where I believe a lot of the onus was put on the diners who felt some kind of way. And that's basically where it's at. We wholeheartedly support the restaurant and all of the restaurants out here. It's a hard job for them. So, I just think that this whole movement with Black Lives Matter running up there, and that's not even the real Black Lives Matter organization, it was all about a money grab for them. That was Hawk Newsom trying to get attention so he can find a way to get a lawsuit so he can put in line his pockets. That's all he does.
100%, Tony. And I think people just have to chill out a little bit, okay? We're coming back.
Yeah.
Things are opening up. But we've got all these crazy left-wing liberals like Len.
Yes.
Beloved co-host.
What?
But Tony, they want to shame you. You don't have your mask on. You're a horrible person. If you're not wearing your mask, you're a Trump supporter, and I hate you. That's what's going on around here in the West Village where I live.
Wow. It's a sad commentary, but we're New Yorkers and we're better than that. And I think what we have to do first and foremost is have real leadership that actually can rally us together opposed to separating us with their commentary, trying to one up everybody to be on TV so they get the impression they're doing their job.
Right.
Hey, Tony, and we're on with Tony Herbert, the community advocate. So restaurant owners are saying the proof of vaccination rules are causing them to lose business. Do we know that's a fact, number one? And number two, what can we do about it?
Yes, we do know it for a fact. Matter of fact, I had a press conference in East New York, Cypress Hill section of Brooklyn, where we had a number of the Latino restaurant owners standing with us, and it was proof positive. You know, we were standing there in a restaurant at a time that they normally would have the place flush with people, the place you could hear echo, you know, as you stood there. So there was some serious concern with that. But what we thought we can do is go back to doing the check-in, you know, and doing the temperature check while we weed this thing out. But at the end of the day, we need to be able to show that the restaurants can do the business so we can keep people employed and keep these taxes coming in that can carry our city.
Right. And here's the thing, Tony, about all of these vaccine mandates. Listen, I've been around the West Village going to restaurants. They like, are you vaccinated? I say, yeah, I am. They let you in. And then, you have to have a mask on. But then as soon as you sit down, you take the mask off and you eat.
Exactly.
I mean, the virus does not go anywhere. It's not saying, I'm not going to go anywhere because you're eating now. I mean, these rules are ridiculous. We have to get this city up and running again.
Yes. I was just at the San Gennaro Festival and they had people dining outside. But here you had all these people walking past you without masks on. So what do you think? that the virus is going to dip over top of your head while you're sitting down at a table and thousands of people are walking in front of you? It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Tony, I'm glad you brought up the San Gennaro. I was curious because it's back this year. Does it seem to be as populated as ever?
Oh, my God, it was crowded. It's crowded as ever, and and as always, enjoyed the food and quite frankly, and the fun that was down there. But I couldn't stay too long; it was just too crowded.
Really? Were you scared? Were you worried about COVID?
No, not at all. I mean, first of all, I'm double vaxxed. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I do think that it's people's choice. Quite frankly, but understanding that we have to look out for each other, so got to be mindful of that and respectful of each other's health. Health concerns. I'm still in the running. I'm running for New York City Public Advocate. That's the message that we're putting out in every stop that I make that, we have a choice to make in life. Yes. But we also have to make sure that we protect each other.
So how's that race going? Who are you up against? Aren't you up against Jermoni Williams?
Yeah, Jermoni Williams, who wants to set us back to the 80s
with all
his criminal embracing. But, it's weird because, at the end of the day, it's a little struggle trying to raise the money because people keep saying, the progressives have got him. He's going to win and yada, yada, yada. So, it takes away from the opportunity of fundraising. And, but we're pushing forward and, try to get as much support from New Yorkers that we can so that we can win this race because he is definitely vulnerable at this time. This guy don't want the job. He already announced he wants to run for governor and has started a committee to do that. But you just got reelected nominee to be the public advocate. But now you're talking about running for governor. He doesn't want the job, and it's a disservice to all of us as New Yorkers because the public advocate seat should bring everybody together.
Tony Herbert, always enjoy having on. Community advocate running for New York advocate. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
Great. If you guys can check me out, my website is tonyherbert.com. Any support I can get is always appreciated by you guys, man.
All right. Thanks, Tony.
And let's wish the restaurant owners well in their fight. Coming up next, Hillary Swindle joins us, George Steinbrenner's granddaughter. Michael saw her nightclub performance last night, thought it was terrific. Hillary is going to join us coming up.
Global Citizen Live, A Moment Heard Around the World. This Saturday, the biggest artists on the planet unite with world leaders to demand action on our biggest challenges. We're going to have Duran Duran, Adam Lambert, Cyndi Lauper, and many, many more. Join us for this once-in-a-generation moment to defend the planet and defeat poverty. Listen to Global Citizen Radio on the iHeartRadio app all day Saturday. All right, so last night I went to Feinstein's 54 Below, one of the great cabaret places here in the city, and I saw my friend Haley Swindle. Len, she is the granddaughter, I should say, of George Steinbrenner. I know you knew him. She is a sensational performer, sensational. And we were there last night, packed house, and I went to Broadway on Friday, which is a bigger kind of a space in a theater. But I was a little apprehensive about going downstairs into Feinstein's 54 Below on 54th Street there. I thought, what's it going to be like? You know what? I got to tell you, Len, life is coming back. You just have to live with things and go and do it. And Haley last night was absolutely terrific. Her song section, her selection of songs moved me to tears. She picked a song that is perhaps my favorite song of all time, You and I. I know it from Shirley Bassey, but Haley did a sensational job with it as her finale. And I think, Haley, are you on the line with us? Hello? Haley?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, you're here. So, Haley, I got to tell you, I love that song, You and I, that you sang at the end of your act. And it just, it's about COVID in some ways, that you and I will travel far together. We've all been through this together, and we're going to go on. We're just going to go on with life.
That's how I felt about the show. And when I discovered that song, which was shortly during the rehearsal process, my musical director, Scott Cady, I didn't know it. It's a Leslie Bricka song, and I didn't know it. And I listened to those lyrics, and I said, oh, my gosh, this is what we've all been through, what we're all going through. This, I have to sing this as my encore, as my finale. It was really about, you know, it was to everyone, to all of us. We're all going on this journey. We're going to be okay, and we're in it together. Absolutely. It's become one of my favorite songs, too. I'm so glad that you love it.
Haley, here's a little bit of the Shirley Bassey version, just so our listeners know what song we're talking about.
You and I are going on together, till the time we have is gone together.
Hey, Haley, any trepidation on your part from singing in front of groups of people?
Oh my goodness, you know, I had not been on a stage in New York City in almost 18 months, so I was a little nervous before I stepped on stage again. I had spent 5 months on a farm. I mean, it had been crazy. I said in my speech, I had done a virtual show, and I'd imagined that it felt a little doing that, like it was the Yankees playing to an empty Yankee stadium, I'd imagine, last year. You know, so being able to play to a house with people was just amazing. It was amazing to feel that energy, and it felt like coming home. It really did. I feel so blessed and grateful to be able to do that. And 54 Below felt very safe. You know, they have amazing safety protocols, and it felt everybody felt very, very comfortable there. Everybody I know that was there, and I felt very comfortable there and taken care of. I mean, it just felt so great to be home again and to have Cabaret back in New York City. It's such a part of New York nightlife, and I just feel blessed and grateful to have been able to be back, and I thank you, Michael, for being there.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I mean, I really felt that New York is reopening again. So, Haley, tell us your COVID experience. Where were you when things began to shut down, and what did you and your husband, my friend Jack Tantliff, the agent, what did you guys do?
Well, I was playing, before this shutdown, I was playing Mama Morton on Broadway in Chicago, and very quickly, I have a 3.5-year-old, so my grandparents had a horse farm in Ocala, Florida. My grandfather has thoroughbred horses, and we went down to his horse farm, and we brought a week's worth of luggage with us, and we ended up being there 5 months, so my husband was doing his Zoom calls from the horse farm offices, you know, making theater deals, which was really interesting and fun. And I was trying to learn how to do Zoom calls, theater calls, and Zoom concerts from a farm. And it was really, really interesting and fun, but also really beautiful because it was we were safe, and I taught her how to swim. And it was a very different life for 5 months. We thought we were going to be there a week. We were there 5 months. We ended up coming back to the city once things got kind of bad in Florida, because it hit Florida later, and we came back in the summer. But it was 5 months in the middle on a farm. I mean, really, on a farm. Two city people on a farm.
Haley, we have to run, but I just want to tell you, I miss your grandfather, George Steinbrenner, so much. Everything happens in sports, and you say, boy, I wish George was here. He would have straightened things out.
I miss him, too.
He would have, yeah. Yeah. All right. Haley Swindell, brilliant last night at 54 Below Feinstein's Cabaret. Go to see shows. Go to see Cabaret. Thanks, Haley. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Haley.
Thank you guys for having me. Take care.
Pleasure. Take care. She was just terrific last night. Coming up next, NYC schools have new COVID rules. What's going on with these schools? We're going to sort that all out with WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini. That's coming up next. But now the news, 9 o'clock.